Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So I think about this. I think about, you know, repentance, and I think about, you know, what's taken place, the sins of our fathers that we talked about. But I think about what took place in Baltimore and the when Stephen A. Smith was talking about, you know, what took place, and they were interviewing a particular athlete about it. And I just want to hear what he had to say. Let's hear what he had to say about Baltimore and the people there, and just get a viewpoint. I think it's kind of a healthy viewpoint. Take a look.
Peaceful protests gave way to rioting in Baltimore following the death of Freddie Gray on April 19th, a spinal cord and other injuries sustained while in police custody. And then as a result, obviously there was some unrest in Boston and in Baltimore, and our colleague, Ray Lewis, had to talk about it.
Violence is not the answer. Violence has never been the answer. Freddie Gray, we don't do nothing for him doing this. We know there's a deeper issue. We know what the jungle looks like. But this isn't it. It's enough of us in the streets trying to change what's going on. Baltimore, get off the streets. Kids, go home. Stay home. You don't have no right to do what you're doing to this city. Too many hardworking people build this city.
Obviously, Ray Lewis, the Baltimore Raven for 17 seasons, that was his plea for peace. Meanwhile, for the very first time in Major League Baseball history, they will have the game tonight. The Orioles will play, actually, this afternoon, but there will be no crowd. That is by design. Stephen A., I'll start with you first. I think we all want to share our comments about what's happening in Baltimore, but what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, I was proud of my brother Ray Lewis for taking the initiative to, you know, spread the message that he spread. We all know he's a future Hall of Fame. He starred in Baltimore for 17 years. Nobody's flawless, neither is he. But his conscience, being conscientious about his community at large, is something that should be commended. I did the same thing on my radio show yesterday on Sirius XM. I see a lot of athletes are trying to do the same. And you just look at what's transpiring, and something needs to be said. You know, we got a lot of folks out there that are suffering and going through trials and tribulations, and we talk about police brutality. We have to understand the difference between police brutality and a brutal act by a particular police officer. When you say police brutality, what you're doing is you're inciting a nation of individuals out there to go and act in a very belligerent and, dare I say, criminal fashion against law enforcement officials. And where do you think that's going to get them? What do you think is going to happen to them? Do you really, really think that you can go up against law enforcement officials? First of all, you're wrong. And more importantly than anything else, you're not going to win. And if you lose, you're not going to just lose in terms of a battle with them. You may lose your life. And so we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to spread the message to them that, again, violence is not the answer. And then when you get into the rioters, the looters, those engaging in vandalism, the part that I find incredibly disgusting is how anybody out there could sit there and support those kind of actions. Our president, Barack Obama, stated it best. They should be treated like criminals. You are victimizing and vandalizing your own community. The very people that you're sitting there and claiming to be in unison with in terms of being victims, not having your needs, your desires addressed, or what have you, are the very people you're looting and vandalizing and all of that other stuff. It's irresponsible. It's criminal. It's unnecessary. It's wrong. And that needs to be said. The other thing that I'd like to say is this. On many, many occasions, we are so quick to point out the things that professional athletes do wrong. But by and large, the vast majority of them are doing the right things. When I think about a Dwayne Wade, when I think about a Kobe Bryant, when I think about a LeBron James, when I think about a Carmelo Anthony, who also is from Baltimore and spoke out against this, the list goes on and on. You have successful individuals that do serve as an example of what you should be striving not only to do, but to be, because of the way they've grown, the maturation process has infected their life, and the way they go about the business of conducting themselves on a day-to-day basis. And it ain't just because they're successful. They're successful because they were wise enough to know how to conduct themselves before they became successful. So these are all the things that I would think that people would look at and recognize and appreciate, because we got some problems out here, just like Ray Lewis said. We certainly have some problems within the African-American community. But one of the biggest problems we have is that we're not looking inward. We're busy looking outside at everybody else, what everyone else has done to us, what history has done to us, how it has affected us, et cetera, et cetera. But guess what? I'm here to tell you something. I haven't heard this said, Skip, on the airwaves. Our ancestors, considering our history and what they had to go through and the sacrifices that they had to make to get us to this point, our ancestors will be ashamed.
That's right.
Of how we're conducting
That's right.
ourselves.
That's fair.
And it needs to be said, and it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be stopped. Because I see a whole bunch of young brothers and sisters out here right now. They're here with us. Yeah. They won't act that way. They won't act that way. Mm. There's no excuse for this, and it's a no-win proposition. You are going to lose if you continue to conduct yourself this way, and more importantly, if you pick up the phone, go on Twitter or social media or whatever, and condone this type of behavior. Yeah. That's hooliganism. That is criminal activity going on, and it is against our own community. There are elder black folks who are suffering at the hands of these looters, vandalizing, etc. Law enforcement is going to deal with that.
You think about these, these citizens that are, they've lost their drugstore, they've lost their grocery store, the one grocery store finally got put in.
One grocery store.
And this is not the people of Baltimore. This is just a few select people that started going a route that everybody's standing up and saying, that's not the right route.
Yeah.
But I think Stephen A. Smith did an excellent job of being able to talk about that. This is so, I thought, you know, like I said, Stephen A. Smith just, he speaks truth.
He speaks truth. He knows how to bring it real.
So balanced, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so truthful and
authentic.
You know, I think about the lady who she took over a ministry of her mother's there, right there in Baltimore, and she's been interviewed on the Blaze television just yesterday. And she was talking about how this vandalism and this rioting has affected the 400 senior citizens that she takes care of, and she feeds like 5,000 people around Thanksgiving, and that the CVS drugstore that got burned down that everybody you could see happening, it looks like that was kind of like the epicenter of a lot of it. That that's where people get their medications, fulfilled, their drugs fulfilled and all that.
That's where your files are at. That's your pharmacist, your local person. And now where are they going to go get their medicine at?
And two, you know, that they just, from some reports are that they worked so hard in the city of Baltimore to get a grocery store.
A national chain.
A national chain store, because they talk about food deserts and stuff of that nature where you don't, you know, if you live in the suburbs and you live out in open land areas, you know, you may have a Walmart up the street. You may have, you know, some grocery store you can go to, and it always has all this great fresh produce there. It's not always like that in the city.
No.
And sometimes it's because of high crime and different things that are going on. But look, they just worked towards getting that store in there, which people were celebrating. They just celebrated, I think, just a very short period of time. It got about a year and a half ago, And they just burned it down. But the ones who burned it down, it's like Stephen A. Smith said, you know, that's criminal, has nothing to do with, you know, Freddie Gray. I mean, it has nothing to do with what's going on.
Behavior, yeah.
But this whole, you know, the aspect of being, you know, being a Christian perspective about injustice, you know, taking place, we have to hold off and just wait and see what's going to happen. It doesn't look good, but, you know, coming from a former law enforcement officer myself, It doesn't always necessarily look good, but once all the evidence is laid out, then you can actually look what it is. And you hear too this, that that's one incident, but when you add up the history, the 490 years, first of all, of of America, and then the 230 years of America, the 181, I think since 1967, of American history, that this broke. For what, something happened that broke, Freddie Gray's back. That's what they're saying. This is the report. Said his back. This young, strong man, somehow his back got broke. Whether, you know, it happened through law enforcement, whether it happened through some reports of some other ways, or whether he had surgery before that, and, you know, whatever it was. But I can't help but think, because I'm hearing people say, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because people are trying to define it by one point. And you have people that are intelligent people that have suffered oppression and injustices and that took place, and trying to say, you know, this is just the icing on the cake. This is a straw that, and you think about it, if it's a straw that broke the camel's back, you think a young black male's back was broken. And it's almost like a breaking point where you say, you know, America, we've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
But this, despite what America does, the church has to deal with it. As Christians.
If my people.
Well, you have, you know, since, John, 1967, I believe it was 1967, the Supreme Court had to rule in 1967 because there was 15 states that still said in 1967 that if you as a white man, me as a white man, married a black or African-American woman, then that would be a felony.
Up until 1967.
Wow. And they that society, you know, allowed at that time, and in the name, people did this in the name of Christ, they did this in the name of the church, and saying that they didn't want, you know, interracial marriages and that type of thing, and so I'm listening to, you know, a present day, you know, good organization, but its foundation is not good. It was started 100-something years ago. And the reason why this particular adoption agency started was because they wanted to find white children white homes. I mean, wow. It was built on racism.
That was the foundation.
That was the foundation of it. You know, we have to end things that are unrighteous and then begin again with a new foundation. We don't build on a previous foundation. And I think what God's wanting us, it feels like, you know, we're going to have to deal with this, but we can't keep, you know, people say, let's go back. You know, and if you're, you know, if you are black, you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to, if you're African American, you don't want to go back. You want to go forward. And God is about going forward. He says, looking beyond the cross, he endured its shame. And this, we have to look forward and say, you know, from this point on, you can't go back.
Yeah. And in all fairness, not even, not in this case, but in many cases, not just for African Americans, but for any person of color, because everybody is included in that.
And this is the difficult thing. Is that because today they're talking about the church, you know, we're wanting God's definition of marriage to be upheld, you know, since the beginning of time. But the unrighteous foundation of going to the government in the first place for marriage began when people who went in the name of Christ, the church, and they went to government to be able to promulgate racism. And because prior to that taking place, and I don't have those laws with me, I'll talk more about it in the future, but they... they wanted to get the government involved so they could make it a felony if you married someone that wasn't white.
Wow.
And so that's the prior to that, John, the government wasn't even involved all these years. They just honored the First Amendment and whatever the church said, you're married, you're married. If you live together for 7 years, you're in a common law marriage. And but the government didn't tell you. But until people went in the name of the church to the government to oppress a nation, an ethnos, a race they didn't value, that's when it happened. So now my dilemma is, and you know, and I'm not the one to run it, but it's like my dilemma is a righteous God on an unrighteous foundation. It'll be great mercy if God lets us get through this thing, because God loves
everybody,
all nations. Let me tell you what the throne room is going to be like. John, tell us what the throne room is going to be like when we're standing before our God and our Lord and our Savior.
Revelation 7:19. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palms in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And I always thought was interesting about the verse of Scripture is that of all the nation groups and tribes that were there, what brought them together, what they were declaring was salvation. That's what matters, the cross.
Mm-hmm. And it's every tribe and every nation. And then the word comes from ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. Now think about this. We're supposed to go to all the ethnic groups, all the nations, to preach the gospel, to tell them that God loves them so they can be gathered around at that throne room right there. Mm-hmm. Do you really think if you were part of a division to divide out a nation that was going to worship God, that you said that one of those ethnos are not valuable enough to be standing in the presence of God, do you think that you're going to stand there? Do you really think? This is the end of all things. Revelation is the end of all things when we're standing before God. He wants every tribe, every nation to be standing before him. But you said that ethnos, that race is not of God. That race, you can't marry that race. You can't honor that race. It's like, you're not going to be there. Because this is what God said. God said this. This is what the Word of God says. He says, if you say you love me, who you can't see, but you don't love your brother who you can see, he said, you're a liar. Mm. In other words, you're not going to be at that place, at that throne room, if you're hating on people. I don't care what race you are. If you hate black people, white people, Asian people, yellow people, red people, whatever, you know, human beings.
Yeah.
And this thing about color, it's like, my goodness, there's a multiplicity of colors. It's that you're created in we all bleed red.
That's right.
We're the same, creating the image and the likeness of God. And so we have to deal with that stronghold that says, you know, that you're better or someone else is better than you. The fact is we're all created equal before the eyes of God. All of our rights do come from God, like our Constitution says. Now we need to live up to those right as a Christian nation, as was stated by the particular Supreme Court justice. In addition to that, when we treat people equally, we're not condescending to them. We treat them as equal. You know, if you ask this one person to do one thing, you ask the other person to do one thing. If you are this way with five people, you're that way with all people. And there's a real condescending nature. I believe this young lady from Prager University just came out on that particular day, I believe.
It sure did. 5 hours before the riots broke out, this was just released.
It just kind of tells it how it is. And it's like equal is equal. You know, equal is equal in the context of that. And God loves our responsibility as Christians. And this is when I heard the Chief Justice talk about, you know, they're debating and the decision hasn't come out yet, you know, of marriage and what's going on. They're talking about love. Mm-hmm. They're saying, you know, if Susan loves Bob, then she can marry Bob. But if Jim loves Bob, then he can't, because they're arguing about marriage. What's going on? And I'm thinking like, oh, my goodness, they're bringing up love.
Love.
And it's like, the church is going to lose that one, because who's loving?
Yeah.
We're called to love each other. I mean, we're called to love and to lay down our lives. And he says, if you love each other, this is a commandment that I give you, that they'll know your mind by the love you have for each other, that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those. And it's like, oh my goodness, the Supreme Court is using love. And do we even have a defense? Mm. Do we see love? And when you have a lot of folks that are saying like, but we have the right kind of marriage, but do you have love in your marriage? Do you love your wife? Do
That's
you love
right.
your husband? Do your children see you loving God? Do you love your parents? You know, is the
do
church
you
when you gather
neighbor?
Together? Do you love your neighbors? And it's like, they, you know, we can be trumped. And the reality is, if we don't have love, you don't have God, because God
is
love.
Love.
This is so, I thought, you know, like I said, Stephen A. Smith, just, he speaks truth.
He speaks truth. He knows how to bring it real.
So balanced, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so truthful and
authentic.
You know, I think about the lady who she took over a ministry of her mother's there, right there in Baltimore, and she's been interviewed on the Blaze television just yesterday. And she was talking about how this vandalism and this rioting has affected the 400 senior citizens that she takes care of, and she feeds like 5,000 people around Thanksgiving, and that the CVS drugstore that got burned down that everybody you could see happening, it looks like that was kind of like the epicenter of a lot of it, that that's where people get their medications, fulfilled, your drugs fulfilled and all that.
That's where your files are at, that's your pharmacist, your local person, and now where are they going to go get their medicine at?
And two, you know, that they just... from some reports are that they worked so hard in the city of Baltimore to get a grocery store,
a national chain store,
because they talk about food deserts and stuff of that nature, where you know, if you live in the suburbs and you live out in open land areas, you know, you may have a Walmart up the street, you may have, you know, some grocery store you can go to, and it always has all this great fresh produce there. it's not always like that in the city.
No.
And sometimes it's because of high crime and different things that are going on. But look, they just worked towards getting that store in there, which people were celebrating. They just celebrated, I think, just a very short period of time. It got about a year and a half ago, And they just burned it down. But the ones who burned it down, it's like Stephen A. Smith said, you know, that's criminal. It has nothing to do with, you know, Freddie Gray. I mean, it has nothing to do with what's going on.
Behavior, yeah.
But this whole, you know, the aspect of being, you know, being a Christian perspective about injustice, you know, taking place, we have to hold off and just wait and see what's going to happen. It doesn't look good, but, you know, coming from a former law enforcement officer myself, it doesn't always necessarily look good. But once all the evidence is laid out, then you can actually look what it is. And you hear too this, that that's one incident. But when you add up the history, the 490 years, first of all, of, you know, of America, and then the, you know, 230 years of America, the 181, like I think since 1967, of American history, that, you know, this broke, something happened that broke, you know, Freddie Gray's back. That's what they're saying. This is the report. Said his back. This young, strong man, somehow his back got broke. Whether, you know, it happened through law enforcement, whether it happened through some reports of some other ways, or whether he had surgery before that, and, you know, whatever it was. But I can't help but think, because I'm hearing people say, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because people are trying to define it by one point, and you have people that are intelligent people that have suffered oppression and injustices and that took place, and trying to say, you know, this is just the icing on the cake. This is a straw that, and you think about it, if it's a straw that broke the camel's back, you think a young black male's back was broken. And it's almost like a breaking point where you say, you know, America, we've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
But just despite what America does, the church has to deal with it. As Christians.
If my people.
Well, you have, you know, since, John, 1967, I believe it was 1967, the Supreme Court had to rule in 1967 because there was 15 states that still said in 1967 that if you as a white man, me as a white man, married a black or African-American woman, then that would be a felony.
Up until 1967. Wow.
And they that society, you know, allowed at that time, and in the name, people did this in the name of Christ, they did this in the name of the church, and saying that they didn't want, you know, interracial marriages and that type of thing, and so I'm listening to, you know, a present day, you know, good organization, but its foundation is not good. It was started 100-something years ago. And the reason why this particular adoption agency started was because they wanted to find white children white homes. I mean,
wow.
It was built on racism.
That was the foundation.
That was the foundation of it. You know, we have to end things that are unrighteous and then begin again with a new foundation.
New,
we don't
fresh.
Build on a previous foundation. I think what God's wanting us, it feels like, you know, we're going to have to deal with this, but we can't keep, you know, people say, let's go back. You know, and if you're, you know, if you are black, you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to, if you're African American, you don't want to go back. You want to go forward. And God is about going forward. He says, looking beyond the cross, he endured its shame. And this, we have to look forward and say, you know, from this point on, you can't go back.
Yeah. And in all fairness, not even, not in this case, but in many cases, not just for African Americans, but for any person of color, because everybody is included in that.
And this is the difficult thing. Is that because today they're talking about the church, you know, we're wanting God's definition of marriage to be upheld, you know, since the beginning of time. But the unrighteous foundation of going to the government in the first place for marriage began when people who went in the name of Christ, the church, and they went to government to be able to promulgate racism. And because prior to that taking place, and I don't have those laws with me, I'll talk more about it in the future, but they... they wanted to get the government involved so they could make it a felony if you married someone that wasn't white.
Wow.
And so that's the reason. Prior to that, John, the government wasn't even involved all these years. They just honored the First Amendment and whatever the church said, you're married. If you live together for 7 years, you're in a common law marriage. But they didn't, the government didn't tell you. But until people went in the name of the church or the government to oppress a nation, an ethnos, a race they didn't value, that's when it happened. So now my dilemma is, and you know, and I'm not the one to run it, but it's like my dilemma is a righteous God on an unrighteous foundation. It'll be great mercy if God lets us get through this thing, because God loves
everybody.
All nations. Let me tell you what the throne room is going to be like. John, tell us what the throne room is going to be like when we're standing before our God and our Lord and our Savior.
Revelation 7:19. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palms in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And I always thought what was interesting about this verse of scripture is that of all the nation groups and tribes that were there, what brought them together, what they were declaring was salvation. That's what matters, the cross.
Mm-hmm. And it's every tribe and every nation. And that word comes from ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. Now think about this. We're supposed to go to all the ethnic groups, all the nations, to preach the gospel, to tell them that God loves them so they can be gathered around at that throne room right there. Mm-hmm. Do you really think if you were part of division to divide out a nation that was going to worship God, that you said that one of those ethnos are not valuable enough to be standing in the presence of God? Do you think that you're going to stand there? Do you really think this is the end of all things? Revelation is the end of all things when we're standing before God. He wants every tribe, every nation to be standing before him. But you said that ethnos, that race is not of God. That race, you can't marry that race. You can't honor that race. It's like, you're not going to be there, because this is what God said. God said this. This is what the word of God says. He says, if you say you love me, who you can't see, but you don't love your brother who you can see, he said, you're a liar. In other words, you're not going to be at that place, at that throne room.
That's right.
If you're hating on people, I don't care what race you are. If you hate black people, white people, Asian people, yellow people, red people, whatever, you know, human beings.
Yeah.
And this thing about color, it's like, my goodness, there's a multiplicity of colors. It's that you're created in we all bleed red.
That's right.
We're the same, created in the image and the likeness of God. And so we have to deal with that stronghold that says, you know, that you're better or someone else is better than you. The fact is, we're all created equal before the eyes of God. All of our rights do come from God, like our Constitution says. Now we need to live up to those right as a Christian nation, as was stated by the particular Supreme Court justice. In addition to that, when we treat people equally, we're not condescending to them. We treat them as equal. If you ask this one person to do one thing, you ask the other person to do one thing. If you are this way with five people, you're that way with all people. And there's a real condescending nature. I believe this young lady from Prager University just came out on that particular day, I believe.
It sure did. 5 hours before the riots broke out, this was just released.
And it just kind of tells it how it is. And it's like equal is equal. You know, equal is equal in the context of that. And God loves our responsibility as Christians. And this is when I heard the Chief Justice talk about, you know, they're debating, and the decision hasn't come out yet, you know, of marriage and what's going on. They're talking about love. Mm. They're saying, you know, if Susan loves Bob, then she can marry Bob. But if Jim loves Bob, then he can't, because they're arguing about marriage. What's going on? And I'm thinking, like, oh, my goodness, they're bringing up love.
Love.
And it's like, the church is going to lose that one, because who's loving?
Yeah.
We're called to love each other. I mean, we're called to love and to lay down our lives. And he says, if you love each other, this is a commandment that I give you, that they'll know your mind by the love you have for each other, that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those. And it's like, oh my goodness, the Supreme Court is using love. And do we even have a defense? Mm. Do we see love? And when you have a lot of folks that are saying, like, but we have the right kind of marriage. But do you have love in your marriage? Do you love your wife? Your husband? Do your children see you loving God? Do you love your parents? You know, is the church when you gather together? Do you love your neighbors? And it's like, we can be trumped. And the reality is, if we don't have love, you don't have God, because God is love.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.
Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.